you're enjoying these messages from our church, then don't forget to tune in live for our weekend services to be encouraged, uplifted, and inspired. For more information, check out planetshakers.com. Today we've got a powerful sermon by Pastor Russell Evans titled, Love God, Love People.
I want to talk to you today, a really important topic that I feel God put on my heart for today. The title of my message is really simple, Love God and Love People. In a world that there are so many things pulling our attention, in a world that so many challenges that we are facing day in, day out, our big challenge of faith is to continue to love God with all our heart and love others as ourselves. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus is talking and he gives us the key to life. He gives us the key to success. He gives us the key to overcoming. He gives us the key. He says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need. That is a drop the mic moment. Seek God. In other words, put him first. Make him number one. Make him your priority. Don't make your workplace your priority, your family your priority. Make God your priority. And if you make God your priority, guess what will happen? He will look after your family. He'll look after your workplace. When you seek him, he says, he will give you everything you need. And then he says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes it's hard to see what's ahead. Sometimes it's hard, you get caught up in your worries of today. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? I want to encourage you today that we keep our focus on loving God and loving people. It says, today's trouble is enough for today. And then he goes on to say this, don't judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And then he says, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? And Jesus uses this word that's pretty powerful. Imagine if I preach a sermon called Hypocrites. Wouldn't be good. He says, hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on the people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. And then he says, so he's saying, firstly, seek God. Don't worry. Don't be judgmental. Then he goes on, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. So again, you know, it's that persistent prayer that he's talking about. Then he goes on to show you the nature of God. He says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And now here's the main verse I want us to look at today. Do to others what you would like them do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Do to others what you would like them do to you. You know, we live in a divided world. People are rightfully concerned about many things. People are concerned about work. They're concerned about education. We have a big issue with young people in education and they're learning right now. Freedom is a concern to people. To be vaccinated or not vaccinated is a concern. Worship together is a concern to people. Lockdowns are concerns. Sickness, viruses, they're concerns that people are facing. Mental health issues, pressure. one of the things that we're worrying about, what is the truth? Because we hear so many things that their trust in what has been told to us, that people are concerned about government overreach. People are concerned about the frontline workers who are working tirelessly day in and day out helping people. I was hearing the other day that people in pharmacies now are dealing with such as the mental health and the challenges of lockdowns that people are coming in really bad ways into our pharmacies, and now people who are working in those places are having to deal with issues that they never had to deal with. There are protests, there are, injustices, there's fear of people. How do I navigate this season? Loneliness. There's an antichrist agenda as well. You know, some of the legislation that has been put up and tried to be put through is not Christ-like. And I will cheer what is Christ-like, and I will say what is antichrist. And when a legislation that gets put up is saying about schools, Christian schools cannot employ people who agree with what they agree with, then that's an issue. And so there is pressure all around. By the way, my dad used to be a pastor, then he became a politician. And people have talked to me at times, well, how do you get your voice heard? You know, some people think you put a petition up. People don't listen to petitions. Politicians don't listen to petitions. What they listen to is heartfelt letters that aren't preachy, that aren't people having a go at them, but they're literally your story of what you are struggling with. And if you have a challenge, I encourage you, write to your local member, write to the upper house, write to your federal member. You know, it's not what party. Each party is challenged. You know, you imagine trying to manage this situation. It's challenging for them too. And so if you feel that you're concerned about things, the best way to get it attention is not get a letter that all looks the same, but write your own story and say, as a concerned citizen or a concerned resident, I'm concerned about this. And do it respectfully and do it with honor, but tell people where you're at. This is a democracy, and you can share how you feel. That's the best way, my father actually said, is how to get the attention of people who are making decisions. So you can do that. And prayer. Prayer is an important thing. We've got to continue to pray, but also we've got to continue to act in faith. In other words, we step out and we do things at this time. So all these things are consuming our thoughts, and there are many things that are worrying. You know, as a pastor, I many, many years of pastoring, I've never heard of children being on suicide watch, but we've had to deal with some of those things. We're living in worrying times. We're living in pressure times. But here today, I want to encourage you and I. Let's remain united in the main thing, loving God and loving people. Seeing the kingdom of God come to earth through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and empowering generations to win generations. You know, in Romans chapter 14, the church of Rome faced a dispute that was divisive. It was about eating meat given to idols. And there was one group of the people that said, oh, you shouldn't do that. And other people said, no, we're fine. God will look after us. And Paul doesn't get into the issue. What he says is, hey, if you want to do that, you do that. If you want to do that, you do that. But let's make sure that we preach Christ and Christ crucified. And let that be the main thing. Let's not get into my view here, my view there that would divide. Let's be united on the main deal, that is Christ and Christ alone, and His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's use what we can to bring unity to see God working in and amongst us. You know, when Jesus came to earth, the religion of the day was Judaism, and Jesus came as a Jew and became the Christ, the anointed one, and that's where Christianity was birthed. But there were four groups in Judaism. There were the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees, there were the Essenes, and then there was the Zealots. This is a situation. Rome was dominating. Rome was heavy-handed. Rome controlled everything. And Jesus comes in, And the Pharisees were a group who chief concern was to practice their religion without interference of the government. They wanted to keep the law in its entirety because their zeal to keep the law as perfectly as possible, and because of their zeal, they sought to impose their rule on ordinary Judaism, and they fought for influence with other factions. And Jesus comes in. These people were suspicious of government. They said, no, we got to practice our religion. That was one of the groups. The second group, the Sadducees, were often wealthy elites. They were typically well educated and liberal in their theology. And they did not accept what the Pharisees accepted. And so they were divided. And they were the type of people that would just go along with what Rome was saying. And then you had the Essenes, who considered that the Pharisees didn't go far enough in imposing the Roman regime, and they favoured withdrawing themselves entirely from society and forming their own communities, often in the desert. These communities focus on strict observance of Judaism and its rituals, and they lived with a strict discipline imposed by the communities. And they had given up on the world, so they were all about end times and speculation on end times and literature. And as Essenes of today are those who want to withdraw from society because they've given up in times of pressure such as the church is facing globally. And so Jesus comes into this place, and then there's the Zealots. The Zealots is the blanket term given to the activists of the day. In reality, they were not all a unified group, but a disparative group of activists and extremists, and they believe in overthrowing the government and taking over the government, and they attended protests, and they're all about protesting. And civil disobedience was a big thing to them. And so this is where Jesus comes in. He's got these four groups. One group that says that they're the elites, that they're like, yes, we're going to do everything. You got others who are suspicious, then you got those who withdraw, and then you got the Zealots who think we got to overthrow. And Jesus steps in and he doesn't buy into any of their issue, any of their ways. He steps in and he talks about what? The kingdom of God. He steps in and talks about the Father. He talks about what the kingdom is like. And that's what we are supposed to be. We're not to get caught up in our own little space, but we're there to be united to declare Jesus is Lord and bring the love of Jesus, loving God and loving others. Doesn't mean your concerns aren't real. You just need, as we come together, to be united. And in Matthew 6 and 17, Jesus gives us the keys, which I've talked about here. He says, first, seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Seek God first. Make him your attention. You know, sometimes I hear so much news and so much stuff, and so you can flip one channel to the next channel, and they all are different opinions, different experts, different this, different that, and you can live confused. How do you navigate in a confusing narrative around the world? You seek God first. God is the one who reveals. God is the genius. God is the one. The Word of God is how we live. Seek Him first. The second thing He says is, don't worry about tomorrow. We can't, you know, we just got to live day by day. But living for a promised land that God has promised us, not giving up on believing of coming together, not giving up on believing what God has said into us. It is a year of revival to restore, to renew, and to revive. We are going to be people who don't live in worry. But Pastor, I'm facing stuff and I'm challenged by stuff and things that, yes, they have very real emotions and I feel them just as you feel them. And how do I deal with that? I get in His presence, because in His presence is fullness of joy. And when I get with Him, I start thinking like He does. And when I hang with Him and I worship Him, all the worries of the world dissipate. They're still there, but my feeling of them, the feeling of them, go away. So don't worry about what tomorrow brings. We just got to keep praying, believing, and focusing on loving God and loving others. The third thing it says is, don't be judgmental. In this season, I've never seen so many judgmental people in my life in Australia. Crazy. With people dobbing that, you know, people say, well, look, you know, we feed all these people and there's big long lines, and they ring the police and they say, well, there's all these lines there. And the police come down and they say, yeah, they're doing nothing wrong. They're feeding people. They're doing all the right things. But we live in a judgmental society that we've got people who are looking at your life and other people's lives through their own log that's in their eye. Friend, I want to encourage us. Do not be judgmental of people. Don't live with a judgmental spirit, because the Bible says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. For the way you'll be treated, you'll treat others. Way you'll be treated as you treat others. So I want to encourage you. Let's live gracious lives. Let's live lives. That doesn't mean we don't stand on truth. We just don't stand living judgmentally, just like the Pharisees did. We got to live. We can see the truth and we declare the truth, but we speak the truth in love, not the truth in judgment. So don't live a life that is critical and critical of yourself and critical of, live a life that seeks first God and you love others as yourself. And then he says, don't give up praying and keep asking God. Keep asking him. You know, we've asked him so much over these seasons and over these years, and even in the last 18 months, we've seen some breakthroughs. So grateful that we were able to record the album when we're allowed to meet and we're able to meet. What an amazing window God gave us, and we're grateful for that, but we're not going to be settled where we are right now. We're going to believe that we're going to be at full capacity in everything we do. Everybody's life at full capacity. Our employment at full capacity. Our families living in full capacity, our health living in full capacity, our finances living in full capacity, our gathering and our relationships and our families living at full capacity. Don't give up praying, you know, and asking God. I've had times that goes, God, I'm sick of asking. Nothing seems to be moving. They talk about a roadmap, a way out. Doesn't seem like a roadmap. It seems like a little step. But God, I get in his presence. He says, Russell, don't give up. Keep on asking. Keep pushing through. Keep believing. Keep focusing on the right things. Keep your mindset on things above. Keep loving people. Keep reaching out to people. Keep giving. Keep being a blessing to others. Keep reading the word. Keep in the presence of God. Yeah. Keep on asking. And the Bible says, everyone who asks receives. When is the place of receiving? Is it the place of asking? It's just, we got to go through this season of having. God says, I'm going to give you the promised land. Okay, God, give us the promised land. And there was a journey to get to the promised land, but they got to the promised land. The moment we ask, we receive. It says, anyone who seeks finds. Keep your seeking of God radar on. Keep it on. Keep seeking him. Anyone who knocks, the door will be opened. God will open doors. Doors that seem closed, he will open. The fifth thing in this story, he talks about how a good father will look after his children, a natural earthly father. And he says, how much more does your heavenly father love you? See, God has our backs and he is good. God has your back. He is on your side. The Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ. So God has our back and he is good. As soon as we lose sight of his goodness, we stop asking him for it. You know, I was reminded of a story. You know, and this week I was pretty, for a moment, I was a little bit down. I'm not a down type of person. But I was down and I'm like, God, I care for people. I see what people are living in and going through. I heard a story of, people who, I don't even think in this zone because I don't live in some of these places, but through lockdowns, there's children who need therapy for their disabilities, but because they haven't had disabilities, their therapy or their situation or their body got worse and they have actually had to have surgery. And I'm sitting there going, wow, the things that people are carrying in this season, and it started to overwhelm me. And I said, God, this is so frustrating. I see people in pain. I see people struggling. I see that we need an answer, Lord. And I'm so glad that we got our new album because it was sent to me and I put it on again. And I just got in His presence. And then this poem came back to me. And it was a poem about footprints. It says, one night I had a dream. And I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before us, I looked back at the footprints in the sand and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in my life. This really bothered me and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, You said that once I decided to follow You, You'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during my troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in times when I need You the most, You should leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love You and I would never leave you during times of trial and suffering. When You saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried You. See, at times when you're in trouble and striving and challenging times, and you look through life and you go, I'm doing this all alone. No, actually, if you let God carry you, He wants to carry you today. He is good. Then it says, do unto others that you want them do to you. I feel God speak to me about a week ago about doing a thing called Operation Love Your Neighbor. And that we as a church, we got a Super Sunday coming up, and during that week we were going to do things that were, and you'll hear about, we'll give you ideas, but we want you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about love your neighbor. Your neighbor needs love today, and your neighbor needs to experience the love of God and need to experience the warmth of God. You know, the Bible says, do to others what you would like them do to you. This is the essence of all that is sought in the law and the prophets. So how do I live a life that is successful? How do I live a life in every season? I do to others what I'd like them do to me. Let's love our neighbors. I want you to pray, God, give me an idea of how to outreach to my neighbor, or outreach to a work college, or outreach to somebody. And number seven, be outward focused. Be outward focused. Let's not be insular. Let's be outward focused. Matthew 22, 37 to 40 says that Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, reach out to them. Reach out to them. You never know that word of encouragement that you give them, or that letter you send them, or that text you send them, or that cake you bake for them, or that cupcake you send them, or whatever you feel God puts on your heart to do. Because when you're outward focused, you're seeking the kingdom of God. Jesus could have been insular in all that He carried. Think about it. The Bible says that the pain that He carried going to the cross, He sweated drops of blood. The anguish, but He didn't live. The Bible says, oh, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Who was the joy? We were the joy. In other words, He was outward focused. He was Father focused, and then He was outward focused. Love the Lord your God and love others. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So today, the 6 points I have for you, very quickly, just to refresh us. seek the kingdom of God. Don't worry. Number two, don't be judgmental. Number three, don't give up on praying and asking God. Number four, God has our back and He is good. Number five, do to others what you want them to do to you. And number seven, be outward focused. And when you do, in any season, God's presence comes and makes a way. You know, as people, we have the power to bring change because we carry the presence of God.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.